Survivor Specials Phil and Alexa are back, and I am once again joined by John Millsap and Annabelle Self, two of our patrons for the Challenge Episode 6 recap. Anybody who's been following since the beginning, John and I did the first four together. Last week, we had Annabelle come on to join us, and we figured why not bring her back again, because three energy-packed proteins is always better than one. So here we are with our three people, our P3, if you will. We are ready to go for the Challenge Episode 6 recap. Annabelle, thanks for coming back. John, always good to see you. Weird week started off with another person leaving the game without actually being eliminated from the game. Is this common in all of the seasons? I open that to anyone.
No, not at all. Okay. This is very unprecedented. We're living in unprecedented times, as everybody's tired of hearing, but the same applies to the challenge, clearly.
Yeah, I mean, it's very rare we get acquitted on the challenge, especially because as much as someone like Jeff Probst condemns quitting, TJ condemns quitting so much more. Mm-hmm. And especially in the challenge, in a show where essentially your way to achieve at the challenge is to come back season after season after season, quitting can be very detrimental to you because it means you can't come back. So seeing a quit from someone who we haven't really seen edited into an episode earlier today with Leo, and TJ just being like, no, I support this decision. You know, something was actually going on there for TJ to react the way he did to this quit. Mm-hmm. It's a big deal.
I thought the same thing because I did see Leo's post. I don't know which form of social media it was on, but Leo had posted about it, and it makes sense. I also think the difficulty of this entire situation is that this was airing only a month or two, or this was filming only a month or two into the COVID pandemic. Mm-hmm. So it was so unprecedented that if you're TJ, if you're one of the producers, you have to be a little bit more lenient with these people, because you might think, I'm not going to react poorly, I'm going to be fine, I'll be able to hang in there as well as anybody else. But in reality, you don't know, because you've never dealt with something like this before. I mean, I thought we were going to be out of this thing by Memorial Day of last year, and here we are still dealing with everything. So you don't know how you're going to react. And then when, you know, something that they don't really show on the show, but they do communicate with their families and everything. I mean, he's got a kid on the way, and you're dealing with COVID and all of that. And, you know, obviously the mental situation of, it looks like he actually had just been let go from WWE because of this. There's so much weighing on your mind. It would almost be irresponsible for MTV to handle it anyway other than the way they did. Because even last week, when she's been declassified, when she really is like pregnant and like, it's so bizarre how they already worded that. Mm-hmm. I think they handled this Leo one about as well as they could have. And I'm bummed to see Leo go because I liked him. But man, that's what, four people now in six episodes that have been eliminated without actually losing the elimination challenge.
Yeah, it's definitely crazy. Generally on the challenge, if anybody leaves without being eliminated, it's usually because they get into a fist fight with somebody. Mm-hmm. That's really the main rule of the challenge, is you can't hit anybody like outside of a physical challenge. So it's interesting to see so many injuries and then, you know, other circumstances that are requiring people to leave. But I guess if we're going to compare this to Survivor, this almost seems like a Kathy Sleckman kind of quit, where like, mm-hmm. yes, technically they quit, but like mentally they wanted to be there, but they mentally just, it wasn't going to work for them. So they had to do what was best for them in that moment.
Yeah. And that seems to be the right move here. I mean, I don't know if we'll see Leo back again or not. I don't know if that's something he would even want to do, or if he's just kind of done with it. You also would have to think by now, I know the WWE has been back up and running pretty well. I don't follow it, so I don't know if Leo's back up and going with it or not. I don't know what, you know, if they hired back some of their newer wrestlers or anything like that. But I know the WWE has actually done pretty well through all of this. So, you know, hopefully there's some hope on that horizon. But Annabelle, since you brought up Survivor, I need to go right to another Survivor thing here. Everybody's so shocked by Jay tonight, and lying to their faces and everything like that. And I loved at the end when Corey was like, did you not wink at me? And Jay just stood there stone faced and said, yeah, I did, which is literally what he did to Michaela Bradshaw in season 33. It was so wonderful to watch. And it just made me think like they don't watch it, which is fine. I'm sure Jay hasn't watched any of their shows, but it's just funny to me that like, you have to know that about Jay. Like that is one of the most iconic moments in Survivor, modern Survivor history. You have to know that about him, and his reaction to Corey was exactly the same thing.
Mm-hmm. And technically, he didn't really lie to Corey. If he was just saying that Corey was safe, they were all under the assumption it was going to be a women's elimination this week anyways. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Corey was safe, but sorry, you're going to lose your partner.
And yeah, also it's Ashley who does Ashley really deserve to be notified beforehand when she's already been eliminated from the game once? Are we really that hurt by this? I don't feel bad for her at all that this ended up happening to her.
And we knew that Teresa had strong bonds with kind of most of the rookie women, and Ashley's far from a rookie. So, and Jay is obviously going to go along with what Teresa wants. That doesn't make a lot of sense for a double agent pair to disagree on who they're going to throw in or, you know, who the house should vote for. So,
and especially when it's a female elimination or an assumed female elimination, like it was this week, Jay has nothing to lose. Why? Like he doesn't feel like he's actually Kyle and Corey can act like you betrayed me. But at the end of the day, no, he didn't. Like you guys were very confident it wasn't going to be you. And I love that TJ did trick them there because for a second, everybody was like, you've got to be kidding me. How did this happen? And Jay was even mad about it, which I think shows a lot there. Like Jay needs to go back to those guys now and tell them I did that for Teresa because Teresa didn't want Ashley and Cam to know you guys weren't in danger. So why are you making this a bigger deal? Again, I think it's an MTV editing thing and it's being made to be a bigger deal than it probably is in reality.
Yeah. And I think it's just going to be really interesting to see how Jay handles this situation next week and whether or not he can dig himself out of the hole with Corey and Kyle and Leroy, I guess, as well. But in the end, Teresa and Jay are working with these rookies, and we were already talking last week about how these rookies are getting the numbers in this house. So if these rookies have all the rookies plus the rookie partnered into Devin, and then Big T, CT, Jay, Teresa, they still have the numbers.
And I think that's the biggest thing right now. We keep hearing about, I have friends. You don't want me coming back. If I come back, you're going to be in trouble, blah, blah, blah. The thing is, Ashley and Cam don't have that many friends. Like it only took 9 votes tonight to get Ashley into the elimination. 9 out of 24, I think it was, or 22 at the time. Mm-hmm. 22. So 9 out of 22, that's not a majority. And really that's like, that's pretty low. I mean, you're starting to get now into like almost 40% to get yourself in there. So I think that that speaks volumes about where the two of them stand. And when I start looking around, like you just said, John, CT, Big T, Lolo, Nam, who they're breaking up. We'll talk about them in a little bit here. Gabby and Devin, Jay and Teresa. You have Amber B. You have Amber M and Michi. You have like there's so many numbers there that – you don't really have to be too concerned about it. And what's smart is Teresa, by pitting Ashley against Cam tonight, ensures somebody who's not going to ever work with her is gone, but also like makes it so that you can go back to whoever you want, but Cam's going back to like Leroy, Kyle, Corey, and that's it. Like there's nobody else you put in. I think that if they would have put in Josh and Nani, Josh would have had some big explosion and just been so childish about it that it wasn't the right time to do it, even though Nani probably was the person that they wanted out the most because she's the one who's coming out calling Teresa out to pretty much everybody in the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I absolutely agree. And Ashley even made a very big point here of talking about burn votes tonight. And we heard a few people say, I'm burning my vote. And Ashley was just like, you're not burning your vote. You are casting a vote for me when you do that. Mm-hmm. And this has been a thing that's happened in the challenge a few times. In season 25, there was an instance where someone was like, okay, I'm throwing out this burn vote. And it wasn't a secret ballot. It was a when they're voting with as a group in front of people. Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, it's not a burn vote anymore. I'm also voting that way. Right. And so like saying you're burning a vote, you don't burn a vote in any of these games.
And it reminds me kind of like Dr. Sean, who, you know, back in season one of Survivor, where he's just voting in alphabetical order. It won't affect the game. Okay, but now anybody can figure out who you're going to vote for every single week. Like, that is, you're making it easier for people to use your vote. And I agree. I think the burn votes, it's like, why are you doing that at this point in the game? Especially if you were such good friends with so many of these people. If you know them all so well, if you've played with them all so well, make a decision then. Just make a decision. And we don't know how many votes Amber, M, and Michi actually got tonight, but it had to be 8 or fewer. And there were 13 votes left over from the 9. That means there's a lot of burn votes out there if that's the case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed that too, John. And that is something that has screwed people over on previous challenge seasons. I mean, there really is no such thing as a burn vote. The only way not to affect the game with your vote is by not voting, which you're not allowed to do per the game rules. Mm-hmm. So, like it or not, you do kind of have to make a decision. And yeah, I agree with you, Phil. Everybody in the challenge, especially at least this season, it seems like the men, they're so concerned with like loyalty and, oh, they all lied and they backstabbed. And maybe it's just because we're Survivor fans and we're cool with deception in these games, but they all just seem so offended. And it's like, well, it's $1 million. Do you want to win? Do you want to get to the final? You might have to make some messy decisions.
Yeah, and CT even said that in his final confessional there at the end of the episode. All these people are getting bad about people lying at them, but that's the game. Mm-hmm. Play it. Learn it. Learn what you need to do so that people aren't lying to you or lie better than other people are.
Well, in CT, I mean, we see a lot of that this week because last week it was the Big T show and CT's all supportive of Big T and everything like that. And today he's like, I can't run a final with Big T. I'll never win. There's no way I'm going to be forced to run a final with her. Just like we saw, Fessy was right. Anissa's not good to run a final with. I mean, Anissa could not hold her own at all. They finished last place and it was 100% Anissa's fault. So, you know, you start to see some of the more game people start to game it where, I mean, there's just too much. And I guess it's because of the past relationships and everybody knowing each other well and stuff like that. But there's just too much of people caring about, oh, well, what do you think about me? Or what do you, it's like, it does get stale. And I know we're on episode 6 here, but in my opinion, as a first time viewer, to me, it's getting old to hear, well, my friends, I don't care that you're actually friends with them. Like, and I guess that's more of the Survivor mentality of, you're not friends with them. Like, I want to watch you pretend to be friends with somebody and then not be friends with them. Like Leroy getting mad now at Jay and Teresa because his fiance was put in there is kind of BS, like, in my opinion, because that has way too big of an impact on the game. And how are people coming into this game where they're already paired up while other people are coming in completely solo? I don't know. It's just a lot. It's a lot. And it does get stale after a little while of hearing it every single episode over and over.
Well, and that's why it's going well for the rookies, because they don't have those pre-existing relationships and they're not really worried about, you know, loyalty so much. Like, they're naturally banding together because they don't know anybody, but it's working to their advantage too, because they don't have that kind of emotional ties to people. And yeah, I agree. It is BS that Leroy was upset about, you know, Cam getting thrown in because she ended up winning. Like, obviously it's nerve-wracking and you probably don't want to spend the rest of the time in the house without your... Are they dating or are they engaged? I don't know.
I thought they were engaged.
Okay, what's her fiance?
They're intending to move in together afterwards.
Oh, is that what it was? For some reason, I just remember from the first episode something was said. Okay, so they're dating and
serious.
Okay. Yeah.
We'll call it serious, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you don't want to spend the rest of the time without your significant other who you had planned to be on there with, but, I mean, she ended up winning. She's coming back. Mm-hmm. She has a gold skull and her partner has a gold skull.
I mean, technically, Teresa and Jay did Cam a huge favor tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why Cam shouldn't be mad in this situation, because I get it. I think Teresa made a huge mistake by telling Cam, if you don't want this, I'm not going to put you in.
Agreed.
I think that was the biggest mistake the two of them made today. And also, like, depending on what Jay said on the bus on the way there. So those things, I think, were the little mistakes. Strategically, they got someone who they want to have a gold skull so that it's easier for Teresa to get a gold skull later out of the way. Mm-hmm. They eliminated a huge threat. And in the end, Cam should be happy about this because there are 3 female gold skulls available. This is giving Cam just like a free pass for three eliminations.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, Cam just beat Ashley, who's probably the only competitor out there who can beat her consistently. Anissa, yeah, maybe, but Anissa wasn't going to win today's challenge. Casey, I guess, would be okay. Nani, I don't know. Like, Cam is in a great position here with Ashley going home, because now there's really not many people who can compete with her, even if they want to. And what I'm starting to feel here, and maybe I'm misreading it because I don't know it that well, but what I'm starting to feel here is Jay and Teresa are trying to position themselves as like the challenge people now for like the future. And they're looking into that future, and they know the way to become kind of like the king of the newbies, to become that CT level, that Ashley level, all that, is to get rid of these people against each other. And I guess somebody like Ashley, who's already won twice, that's got to be making Teresa go, I got to get you out of here as soon as possible. And Cam, who has been on there so long that we know her dating situation, we know all of that, that's got to be making you say, no, you need to go home so that I can be the new star of this. And I do think part of that is in Teresa's mind. Yes, she wants to win, but if she's there with all rookies at the end, or at least three rookies and just one other person, Teresa's starting to look like the star of possibly season 37 and season 38 and season 39. And that ultimately is what it seems the challenge is all about.
So you think they're taking the meta approach here and thinking about the long term as opposed to just this season?
I really do. I really do. And I think Jay, for sure, considering he'd always been a fan of the challenge, had always wanted to play the challenge, gets on one time, gets pulled from the game. Now he gets on a second time, and now he has a little bit of power here. I think that's why he was so willing to kind of lie to these people, because he'd rather be there with Michi. He'd rather be there with Devin. Like, he probably would have rather been there with Leo. And I know Devin's been around, but he'd rather be around with these types of players, with Nam, than be around with Leroy and, you know, CT. Like, I guess he wants CT for now, probably because he also thinks he can beat CT in a final challenge. But I do think there is a little bit of that going into the decision-making right now, and why they're aligning with who they're aligning with. Because you can't tell me Jay has more in common with people like Amber M and Amber B and Michi than he does with a Josh or a Fessy or a Leroy. Like, that's just not, it's just not true.
Yeah. And I think part of it also comes to the fact that this has been Jay's first opportunity to really play the game. Mm-hmm. Last season, in his rookie season, he was on the bottom right away, mm-hmm. thrown into the first elimination, mm-hmm. thrown into a second elimination against CT, which he won, and then thrown into the elimination against Rogan, which he got concussed and had to leave the game. Mm-hmm. So this is his first opportunity to really play the game. So we're seeing a lot more of Survivor Jay come out. And we're seeing that social game that we know Jay has, and that strategic game he has, and he's using it in a way that people in the challenge just aren't used to.
I think also in the challenge, what it can be advantageous to make a big move, because unlike in Survivor, where if you make a big move and you betray a bunch of people, you either have to find an idol, or you have to win immunity, or you have to go on a huge apology tour and, you know, shake hands and kiss babies and hope that you can ingratiate yourself well enough to get back into the good graces of people. But with the challenge, and with so many people still left in the game, and with next week potentially being, you know, an elimination for males, I guess we'll see. That's, I guess, what we're expecting. It just seems like it's a lot more easy to get away with a big move like that, especially at this phase in the game, because there's other people, there's going to be other priorities. People are going to want their skulls.
Yeah. I think that totally makes sense. And yeah, TJ totally messed up at the end of this episode and said, you'll know after the female elimination determines your partner. I was like, what? I'm so confused.
That's maybe a twist that's happening. That would, as a contestant, if I heard TJ say something like that, I would be freaking out trying to figure out how the game was being restructured.
Could you, but how are you going to have a duo of two men?
I don't know. Like, that's the thing that makes no sense. So yeah, we're going to see if it was a mistake by TJ or if it is just something that I feel like if it was a mistake by TJ, they wouldn't have left it in the edit, though.
Well, and that's what I said. It's an easy thing to edit out because he doesn't even, he's not even on screen when it is said. He's, it's like the back of his head, fix it in post is the most famous phrase out in Hollywood. Fix it in post. Just anything can be fixed in post. Why is it not being fixed in post if that really is an error? I know I was very confused and very shocked, and I'm kind of, maybe it's not an error. Maybe it's just a really cool twist that we have coming our way and we don't know what's going to happen, but I just don't understand how we're about to have two men paired up together, especially when, like, you finally got the women even numbers so much so that you brought Ashley back to even out the playing field. And now you're going to eliminate two women back to back. So there's a two male advantage. I don't get it, especially after Leo leaves.
Or it means something like there is a men's elimination next week. And then that woman's still going to be a rogue agent as well.
That was how I
wait until after the next woman's elimination the week later. And that's when that partner's decided. But we honestly could be one of a million things at this point.
And yeah, it's just, especially since it seems like they want to keep the pairs as long as possible. I mean, as soon as Leo left today, it's Devin and Gabby. Like, you're running together. There is no more rogue agent. If it would have been Devin and Gabby separated and they didn't run that challenge, I would have been like, maybe we are going to get something like that where he's not actually going to get to pick his person next time. But I we'll see in a week if it was just an error by MTV that all three of us caught, and I'm sure most audiences did realize, like, it wasn't hidden, it wasn't hard to figure out. So I mean, I guess we'll just have to see what ends up happening with all of that. I don't know. I feel like it was an error, but if it wasn't, oh, okay, well, that's going to turn everything completely on its head. Let's go back to the start, and then we'll talk about the actual challenge, the smuggle run. But going back to the start, Nani calls out Teresa right away, saying that she's playing both sides, all of that. Lolo goes and does the dirty work. This was a very bad episode for Lolo. Lolo comes across, I think, in this episode looking absolutely psychotic. I think she looks horrible with Nam. I think she looks horrible with Teresa. I think she just looks horrible to the cameras. What is going on with Lolo? Because at the beginning, it seemed like they were setting her up to be the future star of the challenge. And maybe that's still the case, but what is going on with Lolo?
Lolo's an emotional roller coaster. She has been on anything she's competed in when it comes to reality TV. It wasn't a question of if this was going to happen. It was a question of when it was going to happen. Eventually, Lolo was going to get to a point where she's letting her emotions take control. She's not thinking strategically, because one thing you don't do is tell your partner, hey, this isn't working. We should probably end this right now, rather than, hey, this is why this wasn't working. Let's fix it so that it doesn't happen again.
She was trying to make it seem like it was Nam's fault. Annabelle, was this Nam's fault or was this Lolo's fault?
I mean, I understand what she's saying, how she never wants to walk across the finish line, how she wants to, you know, finish what she started and do it with as much, like, strength and courage as possible, whatever. That said, they came in seventh. They weren't last and they weren't first. So I feel like she was just kind of making a mountain out of a molehill here. So the aftermath of it was her fault. Yes. And I think for her to nitpick Nam like that, it doesn't really bode well, especially if there's going to be a men's elimination next week. If Nam wants to go in and try for a skull, yeah, he might want to, you know, get a different partner here.
Yeah, so he might dump Lolo, which could possibly happen here, because they were, I mean, this has been building and we just haven't seen it, but it certainly seems like this was something coming to a head, or if it was completely out of nowhere as we're seeing it, that's not good either. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like it was a communication issue, but also, like, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think English is Nam's first language, so he's probably having a hard time communicating while you're running in this challenge anyway. That's going to be difficult. Lolo, I don't know why Lolo was at the front. I feel like Nam should have been in the front. I feel like that was probably their biggest issue, was that the tall guy wasn't in the front holding it up, so the rest was just falling onto her. But again, I'm not running the challenge. But this reminded me, like, the way Lolo was at the end, it's not reality TV. That's the problem. Saying, I want to run across the finish line. That's like in Survivor when what was it, Jamie back in Guatemala was doing the, no, we have to finish the challenge. And everybody's like, why? It's stop. Over. You're an idiot. Stop. Yeah, it's Stephanie LaGrosa with the, it's over. That's it. Exactly it. that's how this felt here. And it's, I get you want to finish strong, but you're, the reason why you probably finished every race you've ever run running is because you, I think the furthest she probably ran was a 400 meter dash. Like, she was a sprinter. So it's, it would be weird if she was walking across the finish line in those races. This is a 5 mile, pretty much tough mudder, where you're nowhere near the people who finished first and second. I loved jog for what? Jog for what? Like, it, to me, I was saying the same thing. Like, why is this becoming something? And then it really just blows up. And I think John brings up a great point. If Nam wants to go and get his skull, he could just do it next week and be like, goodbye, Lolo. Have fun with whoever you're going to be stuck with, because they're not going to be as strong as I am.
I think we saw a few episodes ago how she definitely felt an attraction for Nam. So I don't know if, like, she's just crushing too hard, and that was taken over a little bit, and that kind of explains why she was a little bit more emotional with him. But yeah, I agree. I think that was not a good episode for her at all.
No, I think it really comes down to the language barrier, I think. And I think that's just not being emphasized that much, because it seems unfair for Nam to be the one person there who isn't a native English speaker, which it totally is. But the fact that Lolo's like, I'm the only one saying anything, it's like, well, yeah, Nam's instinct is not to speak in the language you're talking to him in.
Yeah. And that's what he should start doing, is he should start just speaking German to her and being like, okay, are you ready? Whatever that is in German. I only know Ariestein Mann. That's all I know. So that's all I got. But like, if I would love it if he started like, I don't know. I don't know what he's supposed to do. And I do totally agree. I think it's totally unfair that he's the only one there with the lane. But I also think that he's put himself in a great position. And even though it is a social game, with how much of a beast Nam is, he could win this whole thing anyway, even with the language barrier. He's just got to get somebody who can run with him. And I don't think Lolo wanted to run with him. I think Lolo wanted to run away from him and run it at her own pace and do all of that. Not for nothing. They couldn't do whatever part, like any part of the puzzle, that the number part, like that, like, why was that so difficult for every team except for Corey and Ashley, Anissa and Fessy, and Jay and Teresa? It was so difficult for everybody else. And Lolo wasn't exactly being helpful there. And Nam wasn't being helpful either. So I don't know. Like, they're if they run a final together, if they get to a final, they prove tonight they're not as dangerous of a team as we all thought they were. If they get to a final together, they're not as scary in a final at all.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, because these finals do have these stations where you have to do things other than be physical all the time. That's what Casey got destroyed in the last final, because she couldn't solve a math equation. Mm-hmm. So you would think these people would know that after 35 seasons of the challenge, and they would realize, like Ashley said, put down the weights, pick up some number games once in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's why they have the timeout feature with the puzzles. That's never something we see in Survivor. I mean, there was one challenge, I think it was in Game Changers. They had that word puzzle, and it went on for over an hour.
Metamorphosis. And in Nicaragua, they had the gold coins. Mm-hmm. And Benry, I think it took Benry like 3.5 or 4 hours or something. Mm-hmm. However, I think 15 minutes is entirely too short.
Yeah,
I think it's entirely too short, because Anissa and Fessy should have been able to leave before everybody else. Aside from Jay and Teresa and Ashley and Corey, they should have been able to leave before everybody else, because they were better at that challenge than everybody else. And I get that you want to make it a physical, like, the challenge is a physical game. It really is. I mean, even their mental things are still physical, but I have a problem with it. If it's just 15 minutes, then there's got to be more than two of them. So Anissa and Fessy have some sort of chance, because there is no way Anissa ever has a chance in a 5 mile run, because she is going to lose by more than 15 minutes to anybody out there. Likely. I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe not Big T and CT or whoever else, whatever, but she's going to lose to 90% of the people out there by more than 15 minutes in a 5 mile run. 5 miles is a long way and easy to separate yourself. You're running an 8 minute mile and somebody else can only run a 15 minute mile. In 2 miles, you already have a 15 minute lead on them. Mm-hmm. So it's too easy to separate yourself, and then to only give a 15 minute window there at what should be an equalizer. I mean, I think it's too quick. The fact that they all left, they were all gone, and Nisa and Fessy were just getting there. That's too much in my book, and does not bode well at all for Anissa to make a final yet again.
No, no, and that is one of the big things where in Survivor we keep getting told that the puzzle is the great equalizer, mm-hmm. but it isn't in this case because there's that timeout. And mm-hmm. I mean, these competitors were lucky there was a timeout because Jay, Teresa, Ashley, and Corey kicked their butts mm-hmm. with how fast they got through that, and they were done like 15 minutes before everyone else because of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you have a team of two people who just really are terrible at puzzles and then they look at it and they're like, mm-mm, like we're not going to be able to figure this out. You can just use the 15 minutes to kind of get a breather. I don't know if they have, sometimes in those types of long challenges, they have packs on where they can hydrate. They have the Camelbacks. So really it can just be an opportunity to reset with the timeout if you really don't have kind of the inclination of how you're going to solve the puzzle. So yeah, it's a totally different animal with the puzzle challenges in this show as opposed to something like Survivor.
And my thing would be like if Jay and Teresa and Corey and Ashley didn't figure it out fast, like if they did not figure that out quickly and they were stuck there too, 15 minute penalty. Anissa and Fessy would have been the only ones to finish it and still would have been in last place. Mm-hmm. And they still would have finished last place because there's no way Anissa's catching up to them.
No.
It's too much to me, I think. And I was also very surprised, and I don't know how finals work at all because I have never seen one. But I was also very surprised that there were only two stations here. One of them was kind of a throwaway, which was use this to climb over the wall, and the other one was just the number thing. And it was just run to the end of the thing. I thought there would have been more throughout this. You know, I think about like Tough Mudders or when they do those like 5K fun things where you have like the blow up inflatable 5Ks. I would have thought that there would be at least five or six obstacles over the course of 5 miles. I mean, that's one. You've won it like the 2 mile mark here, won at the 4 mile mark, and then run a mile. I'm surprised.
Yeah, I kind of felt like there should have been a third station at least right before the right in that final stretch mm-hmm. where it's like, you can see the finish line, but you have to do this last station first and make that a more difficult puzzle than adding a few numbers up to 38.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. that wasn't a tough puzzle. There is no way it should take anyone 15 minutes to figure that out.
No, not at all. And I think, like, even if you're going to do the timeout factor, maybe they should do it where if you figure the puzzle out, you get a certain amount of time subtracted off your final mm-hmm. time. And then it's not about who crosses first. It's about what your final time is, and then you know you can determine the winner that way. And generally finals do have more obstacles, and they're not just straight running either. There's a lot of running, but sometimes you see mountain biking, cross-country skiing, canoeing, just depending on where the location is and what kind of you know surroundings they want to throw at the challengers. But yeah, that was a little, I guess, lackluster in terms of what they had to do.
I love the idea of cross-country skiing for somebody who has never been on skis. That sounds exciting. But you would have thought that P3 would have known three obstacles packed with protein are better than just one. Like, how does P3, three proteins, I don't even know what P3 stood for. I forget. I didn't write it down. But three energy-packed proteins are better than one. They do two obstacles. In a five-mile race, another thing, why isn't it a three-mile race with three obstacles for P3, and then people win 3K, and then they win another 3K, maybe three times. I don't know. There just wasn't the use of the number three as much as there should have been in this challenge. I was happy to see Jay and Teresa win it. I do think they won by a lot more. I always think of if anybody's ever watched the HBO Tour de Pharmacy, where it's the fake. Back when all the bicyclists were doping, they do a fake Tour de France with like John Cena and Andy Samberg and whatever. And I think whoever else is in it, it was like a sequel to the tennis one, 7 Days in Hell. And so they're riding the bikes, and at the end, it looks like they're neck and neck because the camera's straight on. And then they do the side thing, and they're like, man, a wide camera lens or whatever it is sure does mess with your depth perception. The guy wins by like a mile. Like, they're not even in the same, but it looks like they're neck and neck because it's the straightaway. I feel like that's what we got a lot of today. Was the use of a wide lens that was making it seem as though they were much closer together than they really were. Mm-hmm. Not much drama there. Jay and Teresa really took that one over, and then they just went, and it made sense. They're probably the ones who have run the most mileage in their entire lives out of everybody in this. Makes sense that they would win what is essentially a 5 mile race with a half assed puzzle in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And when going, go ahead, Anna.
Oh, I was just going to say, we talked about this last week, how they're a pretty balanced team. They're not particularly weak at anything. Maybe they're not going to knock everything out of the park every time, but they can run, they can do puzzles, and they can carry heavy objects. That's a lot of the challenge. So
yeah,
if they stay together and they're able to stay together, I think they're definitely in good shape.
John, what were you going to say there?
Just like looking at this challenge, as soon as it was shown to us, even not knowing what the exact obstacles were going to be, you knew Jay and Teresa were going to be at the front of this. Mm-hmm. Just because they were a strong team that didn't have one of them weighing the other team down. You didn't have like a big T with CT. You didn't have an Anissa with a Fessy. You didn't have a Josh with a Nani. So these people who don't have as much stamina. So you already kind of knew they were favored. And the results of this perfectly showed it, just by who finished in what position. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I mean, it's like the thing Chris Hammond was always doing, like, I'm going to run a mile in under 5 minutes, when he's like 40-something years old. And he was doing it, and he kept getting it down, got to like around five, I don't know what it was. But I guarantee if you put him in a 2 or 3 mile race, he's not running that fast anymore. And I think that's, you know, when you do cardio at the gym, you're doing a mile or two. You're not doing 5 miles. There's a difference there. And especially through the mountains and the rugged terrain and everything. This went exactly how we all expected it to. I mean, this was not surprising in the least bit. Teresa and Jay get the power. Jay really takes a back seat here, although he does lie to Kyle and to Corey. Now, we all said, you know, especially Leroy seemed like he was over-exaggerating. Kyle, I don't know why he's so offended. Corey maybe should be offended. What do we think? Has Jay hurt himself here, or does it not matter because they don't have the numbers anymore?
Jay's playing this game like Survivor. And one of the big advantages to that, you're not going up in front of a jury at the end. Who cares if people are mad at you?
That's true.
You're just going to beat him in a challenge anyways. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great point, John. I mean, there is no jury, so you still want to make sound political moves, but it's a lot less about keeping strong relationships, especially if you get rid of somebody. This one a little bit more so, you have to worry about it just because you don't want to piss off somebody's partner. But yeah, it's a little less political when there's no jury, for sure.
And I mean, is Corey really that mad? I mean, how tight are he and Ashley? They can't be that tight. I mean, didn't he vote for Ashley to go in the first challenge?
Yeah, and I mean, the way Corey's reacting to this, he has no friends in the house anymore because they've either betrayed him or been voted out. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, that's a good point.
I think he's the unknown, too. Like, he doesn't know who he's going to end up being paired with, and he doesn't want to get stuck with somebody who is going to weigh him down, because we've seen Corey in past seasons. Like, he is a really strong competitor, and if he gets to that final, he will probably do pretty well. So he's probably just kind of worried for his own future in the game, would be my guess. I don't think he was truly offended so much as he was panicking.
And it makes sense, because there are a lot, and I hate to use the word dud, but in terms of physical long distance challenges, there's a lot of duds. I mean, there's still a lot of people left who I'm wondering, because John and I talked about this a lot at the beginning, what is it that is going to make somebody like Amber M be able to ever compete against somebody like Ashley? I haven't seen it so far. I mean, even in tonight's challenge, I don't see Amber M getting the momentum any better than Ashley did. So I just sit here and I wonder, what is it that they're going to be able to do in order to get through this game? Maybe there's going to be something down the line where we're like, all right, like, finally I get it. But I'm not seeing it. I'm not, like, even in this, I mean, I know you were carrying a very heavy thing today, but Amber M and Michi finished 8th, I think, or 9th. Like, they were near the back of the pack. They were not near the top at all. And what else are they going to win at then if it's not this? So I would understand why Corey's nervous, because as this starts happening, and you have now, you really have Lolo, Cam, Teresa, Casey, Nani. That's really it. For a final, that's really all that you're saying, I want to run with you. Maybe you could get like a lesser of evils in a final situation, but you're really down to like 5 here. And I mean, when you look at the guys who are left, you have a lot of the bigger guys, or you have the random Jay who's good at random stuff. you know, for every, you know, there's, you're still going to have your Devins, you're still going to have your Michi, who I don't really know what they're going to be able to excel at in a final, but I don't know. I just feel like there's a lot, the women have really been depleted so far on this season, and I think it's really starting to show. So I get why Corey's a little concerned about his future.
Yeah, but you don't always run a final in pairs. They didn't run the last final in pairs. Mm. Last season was an individual final.
Was it an individual season throughout, or was it mostly paired?
It was an individual season throughout, but yeah, they ran the final as individuals, which rarely happens, but it did happen. So they don't necessarily have to be looking at who's going to weigh me down, who's not going to weigh me down. It also doesn't matter if you get rid of all of the strong ones and only have the weak ones. Mm-hmm. Right? So, like, Ashley was the first person to finally mention it today during deliberation, where she was saying, hey, like, you guys need to think about who you're going to run this final with. So I get it. I definitely get that mentality. But it would be worse for them to go against some of the stronger women and some of the weaker women, so that one or two partners are obviously stronger than the other partners. Mm-hmm. So you have to get to that point where it's equaling out now.
I agree. And I thought Ashley's pitch was phenomenal. I mean, that would have worked on me. That would have made me start second guessing. But I think the reason it's not working on Jay and Teresa is because Jay's perfectly happy running the final with Teresa. He thinks he'll win if he runs the final with Teresa. I think that, you know, CT might be saying you're right, but also he wants to get to a point where the people that he's going to run that final with actually like him too, you know? So I think that there's a lot going on in all of that. And I mean, next week should be a men's elimination. I mean, by all accounts, it should be a men's elimination. Do the women start trying to knock off some of the stronger men, or are they trying to keep the stronger men so that they can hope that, you know, if you're Amber M, you hope that, hey, Nam will be there for me, you know, and he'll be able to help me through this. Or are you trying, are the stronger women that are left going to try to start getting rid of some of the stronger men so that they become even more valuable? Because Devin's got to run the final with a strong woman, or he's not going to win the final if it is in pairs. It does. I mean, I just wonder because it just seems like there's been so much focus on getting rid of strong people. But still, when it comes to the men, even though, yes, it was Nelson versus Fessy and all that, we did have Kyle go in. We did have Devin go in. We have had some weaker men go in. I don't feel like we've had any weak women go in yet. We've had weaker men go in, though. Does this shift to, okay, we got to put Nam against Josh? Like, we just got to do it. We just got to see what we got to put Josh against. I mean, I know Josh doesn't have a winning record. We got to put Josh against Darrell. We just got to make it happen.
I don't know. I still feel like this is just so beneficial for the women who are left in this game right now, because they have these weaker women to compete against to get their gold skulls. So it really, it's going to depend on these partnerships and how much balance they have within the partnerships and how much they actually cooperate with each other to determine who they want to put in. Because we are getting to a point where people are going to start looking at gold skulls and how to get them. And if all of these gold skulls are locked up in stronger people, that's going to be harder to get. But if they are locked up in people like Devin, who you have a better chance of beating in an elimination, that's also better. So maybe it isn't as detrimental to put these weaker guys in first, because then the stronger guys can come back and beat them for their gold skulls later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. There's three men who have won gold skulls, Fessy, Kyle, and Devin, and then two women with Anissa and Cam. So you only have two left for the men. I don't necessarily consider any of these men like weak, I guess. I think I almost feel like what ends up happening in the challenge for men's elimination, it seems to be a little bit more like political, honestly. Like, if you make somebody mad or, you know, if you feel like you've been betrayed or something like that, I feel like that's typically where the moves are made, more so than, oh, we got to get out Fessy. Like, if there's any super physical eliminations, nobody's, you know, going to beat him. So Josh, just because he's such a hothead, I feel like he could potentially be on the block for an elimination. And then maybe Leroy, just if people want to continue to target Cam. So we'll see.
Yeah,
I'm curious. Feel like Cam was being targeted this week, though. Right? Like, yes, I think Cam was a consolation prize in case Ashley did win. Mm-hmm. But I think the intention was for Cam to always just knock out Ashley.
It was, but now Teresa's burned that bridge with Cam. Like, Cam hates her. She doesn't want to work with her now.
I do think, though, I really do think there's something to the fact that they knew it wasn't an elimination for men and they didn't want to deal with Josh. I really do think there was something to that because Teresa immediately wanted to put in, who did she immediately said?
Josh and Nani.
Josh and Nani. Yep. And I think Jay had to talk her down off that and say, it's not Josh, though. Do we really want to bring him back and have him go absolutely bonkers if Nani loses? And even if Nani doesn't, he's still going to go crazy. I think that that's actually protecting Nani right now because you don't want to deal with Josh. They want to throw Josh in when it's a men's elimination. They still want Josh out, but they don't want to deal with him. And I think that's why Cam ended up being the target. Whether Teresa's going to say that to her or not, I don't know. But I do think that's ultimately what the purpose of it was. So
Teresa is a goof from a previous season. So I do think your theory is sound. I think there's probably also just some personal skeletons that came up a little bit there. But yeah, no, I like your mindset for sure. And I would agree with you. I think nobody wants to make Josh mad before they have to.
Before they have to, because it seems like anything is going to make him mad. Don't eat his cereal. Don't touch his cereal box.
Yeah.
All right. Let's jump through some of these that we kind of didn't touch on too much because I just want to get through some of them. But Gabby and Devin is the pair that gets made right at the beginning of this. Now, last week I'm talking about how Devin's in such a great spot because he can't even get eliminated at the next men's elimination. Now he's paired with a rookie, and a weak rookie at that, and he has a gold skull. Did Devin go and do a complete 180 here, or am I overreacting?
Being paired with Gabby probably isn't the best thing.
Yeah.
That being said, if they're still continuing this, let's vote out the strong woman, it is a good thing. So it could go 50-50 in this case.
Do you think, since next week should be a men's, does it actually help Devin that people might not want to throw Devin in because if he loses, Gabby might pick them, and then it could possibly ruin their game, such as Leroy, such as Kyle, such as I guess those are really the only two. But do you think that they would be concerned, like if Devin goes in there and loses, Gabby could say, I'm going to take Leroy. And now Leroy's with Gabby and Casey's going off to be with somebody strong. And like now he's in a bad position. Do you think that that's in their minds?
But that's not the way it works though, right? Because it's the person who wins who gets to choose, not the person without the partner.
So that's right.
Then if Devin loses, he's gone. And then whoever beat Devin gets to choose the partner. Right. So I don't think that's something that was impressive too much.
And then Gabby's going to go with Corey. So it's definitely on Corey's mind then to not put in. Corey right now is thinking, okay, let's put in a stronger man or a man with a stronger female partner. This way I can get through and get a good partner next week. That's got to be what he's thinking because there's a lot of people there where Corey would just be going right back to square one, right back to being absolutely devastated.
I think Devin and Gabby, like, I don't think they're in a good position at all because – we saw them get a couple of those burner votes. I mean, obviously it didn't end up mattering for the result, but if you're the throwaway vote, that's still a vote. That's still people who are willing to throw your name out there and put you at risk as opposed to somebody else. So, and Devin even had a confessional about how, can somebody please tell me who's aligned with who in this house? Because I don't know. So it kind of shows he does not have his finger on the pulse of the political game anymore. We really don't get a lot of content from Gabby other than kind of her flirtation with Fessy. So, yeah, I don't think it's looking great for them as a pair.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. All right, CT and Big T, we had a big week last week. They come out this week. CT is now calling Big T an anchor. CT and Big T, how do we see this going? Are they in trouble this week, or is it going to be something that's further down the line for the two of them?
If it's a men's elimination, they're fine because CT is not going to get put in, I don't think. That being said, CT is definitely looking to get away from Big T at this point. He's definitely looking. He loves CT. I fully believe that he loves having CT as a partner and understands the benefits of it. But he's starting to think of the detriments to it as well. So he just wants to get to a point where he feels really comfortable with his partner and can just move on from there. Because he does need to win a gold skull. He needs someone who is willing to go down if he wins a challenge.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Get a men's with Josh and CT, and CT takes out Josh. I think that would be huge because Nani would be somebody you would probably be a lot more happy to run a final with than Big T. You know, then Big T becomes the rogue agent if the numbers end up being uneven or she picks up Corey or whatever the case may be. But yeah, I think we could see potentially CT going into an elimination soon. He had a confessional about how he's got to get a gold skull. He's kind of starting to shift into the, okay, what's my next move? I can't just keep coasting by.
Yeah, and I think we're at that point in the game now where we're not in the beginning mode of the game anymore. We're starting to get to that mid-game where people are starting to change their philosophy on how the gold, how eliminations and how gold skulls work.
Yeah, and we're down to 21 people now. If we have 21 going into next week, it should be a men's elimination. So you're going to, you know, you get down to it where five men will have been eliminated after next week. So you need to figure that out because there's only 10 left and five of them are going to run and five of them aren't. Let's see. Leroy and Casey. Casey was quiet tonight. Leroy had more, but especially for a women's elimination, I thought it was interesting, and especially since Cam went in. I thought it was interesting that they weren't louder. Thoughts on Leroy and Casey at all right now?
I think they did worse in this challenge than I expected them to. I kind of felt like they should have been a team that was kind of leading this challenge. Maybe not to the extent that like Ashley and Corey or Jay and Teresa were. Mm-hmm. They should have been at the front of that pack, I felt. And like I said, Casey lost the essentially lost the final last year because she didn't do a math equation. You'd think she would be practicing that like nonstop. Mm-hmm. So kind of embarrassing not to finish a puzzle again. So they have some stuff to work on. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a mistake if Leroy gets hot over Cam getting put in.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Leroy is kind of a streaky competitor. Like there will be some things he'll just completely crush it, beast mode everybody. And then some things you're like, oof, yikes. That was a little hard to watch. And this is obviously somewhere in the middle. Like, I think they finished fifth. So yeah, middle of the pack. Casey, like John said, did lose last season. A combination lock. Yeah, not too strong in the math area. So I think obviously physically they're strong competitors. It's just going to be a matter of can they get any sort of power if they can get into that double agent role, kind of shake things up a little bit. That would bode well for them.
Yeah, and then the only other there's three other teams that we really didn't talk about much this week because we talked a little bit about like Josh and Nani and how that would go, Lolo and Nam, their relationship, Kyle and Cam, Teresa and Jay. The three that I still feel like I know nothing about, and it kind of goes to this Leroy and Casey, Darrell and Amber B. I'm still waiting, and we're in episode 6, and I don't know what Amber B's voice sounds like. Darrell, I still don't feel like we've got much from him at all. He had one little confessional tonight. What are these two being set up for? Like, are we being set up for one of them to run the final and just be terrible at it, or are they just there and they're going to be gone and we're going to go, oh.
Well, as Amber B said in her first confessional in multiple episodes, they're both running for their families.
Hmm.
And that's all we know about them because that's the amount of editing we're getting. We're getting one confessional from the fact that we got a confessional from both of them today is astounding.
I honestly missed Amber B's confessional. I think
it was during the middle of the challenge. And it was literally, if you didn't pay attention for like 30 seconds, you would miss it.
I probably watched it and it went through one ear and out the other. It's like Chelsea's confessional about coffee. Like it just goes in and you're like, oh, that was a thing. Okay. And then everybody talks about it. And you're like, wait, that happened. I totally missed Amber B's confessional tonight. I think I saw it, but I don't think it registered in my brain.
So yeah. I don't think this is the case. This is just pure speculation on my part. But last season there was a contestant who midway through airing this season, she said some very like offensive, racist comments on social media. And they just completely like made her invisible in the edit. They were like, we're still going to air this with her in it because we don't want to disrespect anybody else in this game. But we've cut ties with her and she was pretty much a non-factor for the rest of her time on there. I don't think that's the case, but that was kind of what my mind went to, is like, why is she so invisible? Why are we getting literally no content from her? I hope that there's no controversy later that caused her to be edited out.
But I don't think there is, because I'm looking at her Twitter and she's relatively active on Twitter. I think that if she was like in trouble, she wouldn't be active on Twitter at all. So I don't think that there's any controversy, but I do understand what you're saying, where it's like, are they trying to edit you out of the show? It's just like, I don't think so.
Maybe she's not gonna quit.
Yeah.
Because Leo didn't get any edit because he quit.
Yeah, that could be, which is a controversy, I guess, on its own, but a little less serious for sure than any sort of offensive comments. But yeah, that would make sense for sure. Or if she gets medevac somehow.
Or maybe she's just not that interesting and she's not that pivotal to have the way the season plays out.
Was she on Big Brother? Was that the show she was originally on? Okay.
So weird. It's so weird. I just feel like she's just been irrelevant the entire time and I'm just waiting for something and there's just nothing. And maybe that's just the way it is. I mean, I know 30 people is a lot to edit into something, you know, into a show. And she's a rookie and she's probably not really a big factor in all this. They're all clearly targeting Amber M over Amber B. So maybe it's just a matter of time. But speaking of Amber M, Michi and Amber M got a couple straight votes tonight. Anything from the two? Like, do we have any confidence in the two of them that they could possibly pull this out?
I think it's just a countdown here. Mm-hmm. Countdown to them being thrown in. Event. Like I said, because we're down to five strong women now, these rookies have to be in trouble. Mm-hmm. Because these women are just going to be like, you're my gold skull, you're my gold skull. Let's do it.
Yeah.
So it's going to be very important for Amber M and the other rookies and Big T to keep working with Teresa and Jay, CT and Devin, and keep them in the numbers so that they can keep these heavy hitters going against each other.
Mm-hmm. And then the last one I got, and quick aside, Fessy's jacket tonight was horrible. I don't do any fashion. I'm not a fashion guy, but that jacket he was wearing was so bad. Oh my gosh. I felt like I was like watching like an RPG, Final Fantasy X or something like that. Like it just looked like that. But Fessy comes out looking pretty right tonight after everything that happened. Something's going on with this Gabby edit. I don't know what it is, but something's happening because now his game is getting better. And this is the second time we've heard about this season. He looks right because Anissa was terrible in the challenge today. And that's what he was concerned about. What do we think about Fessy right now? I mean, it's been a roller coaster the whole time, but what are we thinking after episode 6?
I think the preview for next week doesn't bode well for him because it looks like he's getting into a pretty big fight next week.
With Josh, right?
It's either with Josh or like with Corey or something, and Josh was breaking it up, but there were some big boys going at it in that preview, and it looked a lot more escalated than what we got from last week's preview showing a non-conflict between Teresa and Lolo.
Interesting. That's a good theory. Annabelle, what do you think?
I think, I don't know if he'll necessarily be in trouble next week, but at some point, as more gold skulls are snapped up by the men, if you get a puzzle-oriented men's elimination, yeah, I would absolutely throw Fessy in there. Get him out of here. You don't want him against you in a final, taking up one of those spots. He has a gold skull. You can take it back from him. If it's not something that's big and burly and requires a lot of brute force or pushing, pulling, something like that, I think that's a good opportunity to kind of knock him off his pedestal a little bit. I think it's just kind of be a waiting game and wait for that. The timing, I think, is really important with this game. So seeing what the challenge is and what people's strengths are, I think, is a big factor in determining who you throw in.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was totally on Team Anissa and everything like that going into this. But now I don't know. After what happened tonight, I'm like, I get why Fessy's trying to get rid of Anissa as quickly as he possibly can, because for a final, there's just no way. There's no way. So I get it. But do we have anything else that we need to cover?
I don't think so. I think that covers pretty much everything in this episode. In the long run, this challenge lasted for like 40 minutes. So not a lot happened this episode.
Yeah. That's a good point. That is a good point. I mean, it really was a lot of the big race and then a lot of nothing. So how about that?
I was a little disappointed Ashley didn't do – like I wanted Cam to win because I just enjoy her more. But I was a little disappointed Ashley didn't have a stronger showing in that elimination, just because I think it's kind of like with Edge of Extinction, you know, Rick Devens and Chris Underwood, like – you're playing with house money. You've already been voted out. You have nothing to lose. You're kind of going, you know, balls to the wall, full force. Ashley was already eliminated. She just kind of got lucky with Natalie getting pregnant and having to leave. So, and I understand, you know, if you're not good at a challenge, you're not good at a challenge. But I think she was distracted. And we saw that on her face a little bit. So not the best showing from her. But other than that, yeah, I think it was a pretty straightforward episode. I hope it was kind of more of a builder for hopefully more drama down the line.
Yeah, definitely less exciting than last week's. Definitely disappointing to see Leo go, how he went. You know, hopefully the best for him. But and then, you know, between Ashley and Cam, I liked Cam a lot early on, and then she kind of fell off, and Ashley being eliminated and then coming back, I have no qualms with her getting eliminated. So it's like, whatever. That's kind of how it felt. But it seems like there's a lot going on next week. As John said, a big blow up. We're going to have a lot going on over the course of time here. John has just worked his way into my heart, and therefore I will tease that in a second. Lex and I are going to be doing our Q&A shortly, maybe tonight, probably tomorrow. But for our patrons, we also have daily patron content coming your way in February. We are ready to go. We just actually have to like wait till February hits, because now it's we've already lost all our January patrons, so we might as well wait. But if you want to become a patron, patreon.com/survivorspecialist. We're going to be talking about a lot of stuff because we have a lot of stuff going on. This challenge podcast is becoming a lot of fun. We're going to keep moving forward with this. We might be able to get a little bit of challenge content maybe on the Patreon page at some point. But I had posted a top 100 movies into our Survivor Specialist Facebook group, and it just created this huge conversation, massive conversation. I think it's like our most commented thing and has nothing to do with Survivor. And John was supposedly the most excited all about it, and it was like Christmas morning for him. And so John also made a top 100 list. And John and I are actually going to try something insane. And we're going to bring you a podcast where we're going to talk about our lists. And we're going to start with number 100 on Tuesday. So stay tuned for that. Our lists are on letterboxd.com. It's also in our Patreon Facebook group. My number 100 was The Descendants, which is from 2011. John's is Les Mis from 2012. So if you want to watch those, we're going to be talking about them on Tuesday night. It's going to be something fun. Movie Buff podcast wasn't taken, but Movie Buff is just annoying to me. So we're doing Movie Buff Specialist just to keep the specialist thing going. Should be a lot of fun. We're going to see how it goes. The first episode might look a lot different than whatever episode two looks like, but we're gonna go with that, and we're gonna watch each other's list and just see how it goes. It's gonna be a lot of fun, and we're gonna do that weekly, at least once a week. So that'll be good. Alexa and McKenna are almost done with Australian Survivor, I do believe, and Alexa already has plans for her next International Survivor season. So if you're enjoying the International Survivor with McKenna, get ready, because there's another one on the way. We are going to be talking to Peridium next Wednesday. We are going to be talking about a fun topic that I will not give away here because I don't know if Alexa wants me to, but it's going to be 2020 related and Survivor related all at the same time. So that will be a lot of fun. And McKenna Feeney and Nick, I don't know how to say his last name, but it was his birthday. So happy birthday. I don't know his last name, but they're doing another one of their trivia game fundraisers. I couldn't think of what it was. I wanted to say charity game, trivia game fundraisers, where they're going to be having a lot of people involved in that. Reach out to McKenna. If you don't know who McKenna is, find a way to reach out to McKenna on Twitter or Facebook or something. But I know that, I don't know if people are still signing up for the one that's on January 30th, but there's also going to be one on February 20th. So reach out. You could also message Alexa or I on Twitter. Do the Survivor Specialist one. I don't check my personal Twitter at all. This way we can get you over to McKenna if you have not heard about it, but this sounds like something you'd be interested in. So a lot coming up. As I said, it just took us actually getting into January, and then we could get well on our way. Annabelle is going to continue to do this as long as Annabelle wants to continue to do this, because three is always better than one, or something like that. I don't know. I believe what advertisers tell me. So, you know, that's just me. I buy into it. But that's everything that's coming up to wrap up this month. You're going to have a Q&A. You're going to have our retrospective, and you're going to have a lot of content coming your way in February if you're a patron. Otherwise, you're just going to have a lot of content. We're going to keep spreading out. Survivor's going to be filming soon. That's good news. That's what the word on the street is. So maybe this will all end sooner than later, or at least the chaos of not knowing what's going on. Anyway, all that being said, John, Annabelle, thank you both so much for being here. Thank you for dealing with the 5-minute outro. Annabelle, I know you have to go to work or something. So goodbye, everybody. We will see you next Wednesday for the Challenge Episode 7 recap. And if you are a movie fan, Tuesday night, John and I are talking about our number 100 movie, The Descendants for me, Les Mis for him. Bye, everybody.